live from Indianapolis, Indiana. Welcome to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show, presented by Scott K. Nichols and State Farm Insurance. And now, here's your hosts, Brandon Reif and Jonathan Birdsong.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Crossroads Sports Radio, episode number 223 on a Wednesday night. Football is here. Football is ready. We are ready to get started. We started with week zero this past week. We got week one coming up. We got the NFL season ready starting next week. Football is here. I'm your host, Brandon Reif. I'll be joined, as always, by my main man. Let me see if we can get him in here. My main man, Jonathan Birdsong. JB, how are you?
Man, I'm doing just fine, Brandon Reif. I'm doing just fine, Crossroads listening audience. Dude, Brandon, I know you give us a raw rundown, but I know we got a lot of football to talk about tonight, man, and I can't wait, man. So please, without further ado, give us the official rundown.
How am I sounding this evening?
I can hear you fine. No, there's no clicking. Sometimes
beautiful.
Usually sometimes we have shows that be a little clicking at the beginning or whatever.
Well, the only reason I ask is because I'm hardwired in now. I'm hardwired in.
Okay.
So
that's good.
So it should be a lot faster, a lot smoother, a lot better. So hardwired in. We got a big show this evening. Football heavy. NFL preview show. We've got college football week zero last week. Week one coming up this week. We've got our five, each have our five hot takes for the college football season. We got a little NBA news. Tonight's show, we'll have Tanner on. We do our picks. College football week one, pick them. Me, Jonathan, and Tanner Penrod, our college football guy. He's going to join us about 7:15. We'll do our picks. Show will end at 8 o'clock tonight. I have a hard out at 8. I have a fantasy draft this evening I have to get prepared for and to kick some ass in. So that will happen at the bottom of the hour of 8 o'clock. So hour and a half, John, we have here with you. We also have taken phone calls. Let's dive right in, John. Before we'll start with the NFL. Preseason is over. I was at the Bucks Colts game. Got to saw the GOAT Brady one possession. He looked good while he was in there, going for it on the fourth downs. Colts brought Shaquille Leonard. He's not going on PUP list, so he will be. Staying on this roster, not sure when he'll be returning. Wise, they made a few roster moves. They've kept Sam Ehlinger on the roster as expected. John, Colts at Houston. The Colts have lost 8 straight openers. They're at Houston week one. Colts right now are 8-point favorites. Over under is 44.5.
Right, right. So all you bettors, correct me if I'm wrong, Brandon, all you bettors, whether you're a Colts, super Colts fan or not, you want to take the Texans, right?
Not really.
Not really?
I thought.
Okay. Well, listen. I'm not necessarily concerned about the week one opener. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
The biggest
should
point,
they
the biggest
start 2-0? It's at
better.
Houston, at Jacksonville.
They better.
Or so that's two streaks they haven't. That think about that real quick. I'm sorry before I cut you off. That's two streaks,
no.
Right? The Colts haven't won in Jacksonville in how many years? And the Colts haven't won a season opener in how many years? So that's their first 2 weeks or two streaks that are against the Colts. Do we, A, think they're going to get both wins? B, do we think they're going to break one of the streaks? Or is it DEFCON 1 where they lose both?
I think we – well, listen, man. Let me give the evaluation of the team, man. The biggest news today is, man, is they got Shaquille Leonard back off the PUP list. So he can participate in drills and, you know what I'm saying, limited practice going further, and then they can blend him in with the team, you know what I'm saying, all that good stuff, right? Hopefully, you know what I'm saying, it might be something where he could have played right now, you know what I mean? But, like, if again, preseason game, why are we using our middle linebacker in such a capacity when we know he's still a little bit tender, right? So again, Brandon, you know that's a good look. They don't know if he's gonna start week one, week two. It's probably looking in between week two, week four, was when Darius Leonard will be back there on football field. So, but I know, man. Other than that, man, they've made the necessary moves, necessary cutdowns. You know what I'm saying? You don't like seeing guys, you know what I'm saying, that you've been rooting for from college to into, you know what I'm saying, and even in the preseason to get to this point. But, you know what I'm saying, that's the reality of the NFL. Guys get cut, guys get picked up off waivers too. So there's that too. So the Colts are running with a pretty solid quarterback crew with Matt Ryan and Nick Foles. I mean, I know people probably sneak, you know what I'm saying, snickering in the back of the play. I can't believe Nick Foles, you know what I'm saying, is the backup quarterback. But Nick Foles in the backup capacity, that's what you want, right? That's what any team would want in a backup capacity. And then, you know, Sam Ehlinger made the final cut at quarterback, you know. So, again, you know, if we have to jump out the airplane and parachute, have something bad things happen, Ehlinger, roll out Foles, you know, there you have some, a little bit of faith in it, you know what I'm saying, more so. You know your chances to get to the Super Bowl are limited, you know what I'm saying, without Matt Ryan. But, you know, your chances of winning some football games, it can be done with a Foles, you know what I'm saying, quarterback or even Ehlinger. But, you know what I'm saying, that's really like DEFCON 4 or 5 territory if Ehlinger's out there, right? In a starting game. So, but like, no, man, the Colts should be proud of this roster. They should be proud of this roster. And like I said, going down there in the home opener down in Texas, they'd probably rather be home here in Indianapolis, right? But they're not. So on the road, go down there with confidence, man. You know, I don't think there's a wide gap in talent base between that team and our team, the Colts. But there is a definitely was experience. You know what I'm saying? The Colts got experience, man. There's no way the Colts should be losing to the Jacksonville Jaguars or the Texas Texans. Not the next two games. You know what I'm saying? Barring major injury. You always have to put that out when we're talking about football. So, but no, Brandon, the Colts should be confident in going, you know, in, you know what I'm saying, the next two, you know what I'm saying, going into the season and, you know what I'm saying, playing in their, not looking over opponents or anything like that. They can't get that cocky, Brandon. They're not moonwalking into nobody's AFC championship games. You know what I'm saying? This is going to be a hard, you know what I'm saying, nose cold team where they grit out victories for, you know what I'm saying, between 4 and 8 points. It's not going to be, there's not no blowout Colts here. Okay? That's not what we got here, I don't think. You know what I mean? It's going to be, you know what I'm saying, when they play elite teams, it's going to be, still might be a little close, but it still should be a dominant performance defensively. You know what I'm saying? And it should be a competent offense where, you know what I'm saying, you're not wondering what the hell is that. You know what I mean? And that's kind of what they had offensively last year, not to bring up Carson Wentz's year with the Colts. But that's how I kind of see the Colts, man. So, yeah, 2-0, definitely.
Okay. John, I saw an interesting stat, speaking of the Jaguars, interesting stat yesterday. The Jacksonville Jaguars, John, have spent the most money on NFL free agency over the last decade than any other NFL team. At $1.64 billion. Most money spent, and I know this past season was a rich off season. They were number one out of everybody. But over the last decade, they've spent the most money in free agency, $1.64 billion. And also, in that last decade, they have the most losses of an NFL team in the last decade, too. Just so you spend the money doesn't mean the results in W's.
Correct. They spent money, but who they have running the show, you know? I think, Brandon, everybody's romanticized the college coach to NFL coach to Super Bowl. We've romanticized that so much, man, that we, you know what I'm saying, all football teams kind of want that. I mean, you know, all football players won. Jimmy Johnson won a national championship. Jimmy Johnson wins a Super Bowl or two. Everybody wants that kind of story. But it's not necessarily like that anymore. You know what I'm saying? When you're picking a coach or you're picking a general manager or whoever's running your organization and picking players, you know? So, again, I mean, we know Urban Meyer, it was a flop down there. I was a believer. I thought he could do it. He has, yeah. I mean, Urban Meyer, God bless him, man, unique mind about football on all levels. If you ever hear, dude, if you ever hear a conversation, take the politics out of it, take out the wackiness with the wife and shit, you know, and the, you know, showing up at the, you know, local bar. You know, take that, Brandon, take that wackiness out of it. And I see why he got hired. But, like, he forgot that you're supposed to level up your coaching, you know? So I'm not necessarily putting all this on him. They've had some other bunglers, you know what I'm saying, running the organization, wasted talent, guys, you know, defensive. They had some great defensive from a matrix standpoint, you know what I'm saying, metric standpoint. They had some great defensive teams but didn't have anybody to lead it. Didn't have anybody to lead or have to lead the offense. So I can believe the stats that's come out on Jacksonville for damn sure.
Yeah, I thought it was crazy when I saw that. Also, through cuts, John, I need to ask you, just because we have some of our fan bases here in Indianapolis, what's Jerry Jones and the Dallas Cowboys doing? Because if you look at that depth chart, John, there's only one quarterback on that depth chart. They cut all other three quarterbacks on that depth chart. So right now, as of today, Dak Prescott, who was hurt last year, if you remember right, went off that season-ending injury the year before, he is the only quarterback currently signed to the Dallas Cowboys roster, and we are approaching week one.
Well, you know they're going to – you know, it's always somebody that runs it that they ain't supposed to be running it. So you know Jerry Jones is not going to let that stand.
I think they got two options. I think they had option A, and that was going to be them thinking that the Colts were going to either cut Ellinger or put him on the practice squad to where they could pick him up being a Texas boy. Okay.
Yeah, maybe.
I think that was option one. I think option two for them is going to be, and watch for it this weekend, Kellen Munn, who just got drafted recently. Kellen Munn's going to get just got released from the Vikings yesterday. He's going to hit free agency. I can see Kellen Munn, also from Texas A&M, a Texas boy, going in there and being the backup quarterback, because he has similar traits to Dak. He really does. So it's easy to open that offense.
You know what kind of landscape we got in quarterbacks when Jacob Eason can get cut from the Seattle Seahawks and then get picked up at the same time? You know how terrible you got to be, but good at the same time, Jacob Eason. You know what I mean? So that's kind of quarterback landscape that we have, man. So, interesting.
Yeah. Are you shocked that the 49ers and Jimmy G agreed to restructure a one-year deal?
I kind of am, Brandon. I kind of, just because of the numbers, wacky, man. That number, Jimmy G, hey, man, listen. San Francisco 49ers fans are pissed at him because – he always gets them to the ball. He gets them to the ball, and then when it's time to win, you know, whatever, you know, Mr. Congeniality, which I know that's not a real thing, but you know what I'm saying, when they're supposed to win, like, he comes up short. But I'm saying, man, they grind out a real, you know, 17-game season with him at the helm. So, you know, it come up short. You got to figure out, you know, as a coach and as an organization, you got to figure out how to overcome that if he's the one that's kind of like the elephant in the room that's preventing us from winning the championship or whatever our goal, right? I mean, that's cool. That's what you want out of your team. That's why people salute the 49ers, man. They're trying to win. And this is what the crazy part is, when you know the math behind it. Like, this dude signed for $7 million, Brandon. Jimmy G could have got $70 million.
Right.
That's the kind of quarterback numbers he was, you know what I'm saying, playing with. So, you know, I said Jimmy G last year would be playing in a sunny location. It still remains true. San Francisco, California, it's still sunny. But, personally, I thought he was going to be playing, like, in Florida or somewhere, man. But, like, nah, man. You know, that just makes them more solid team, man. I think that now the kid got to be looking over his shoulder just a little bit. That more pressure is on him to perform because, again, excuse me, Jimmy G has gotten him to the AFC Championship game how many times? So what is this kid going to do? I mean, the kid, I get it, it's a learning curve. He's learning, you know what I'm saying, this is his first time starting, navigating his way as being a starter. But, like, San Francisco wants to get to the championship, bro. You know what I'm saying? So they got Jimmy G insurance right there, but it's so cheap though, man. $7 million. Wow.
Pittsburgh Steelers, Mike Tomlin says, they said, well, Mike, the preseason's over. Who's the starting quarterback for Pittsburgh? And Tomlin says, in the most Tomlin-like way, who says the competition's over? We're still competing for that starting job. So it sounds like he's going to hold it to his vest until next week, week one, when they go to Cincinnati.
For Brandon, Mr. Pittsburgh Steeler, how do you rate him, man? How do you?
Their stats are so similar. It's so similar. If you didn't have years of watching Mitch up in Chicago, you would say that these guys are truly even. I think there is a disdain and an image, a bad image of Mitchell Trubisky based off what he's did there, that I think he's getting a wrongful shake. Now, is he the heir apparent to Ben Roethlisberger? No. Did they draft Pickett to have him throw him in there and make him start? No, that's not what the Pittsburgh Steelers do. They don't just throw somebody in there. And if they're going to spend money, they're going to spend money wisely on somebody. And they obviously paid Mitch what they paid him for 2 years to be that serviceable quarterback. And maybe it's a Tommy Maddox-like, where Tommy Maddox started 2004 season, week one. Then he got a little hurt in the first quarter. Ben Roethlisberger went in, and then Big Ben went 15-1 the rest of the regular season. Maybe it's that. I don't know. But Pickett's looking good. I've been reading a lot, man. I don't know what they're going to do. I think if I have to twist my arm, I think they go with Mitch until the wheels completely fall off and they let Pickett sit behind and kind of learn for a little bit.
Right.
He looks ready. Trust me. But
that means you regulated Mason Rudolph. Poor little Rudolph. Shiny nose.
Yeah.
You regulated him two-third string, right?
Yes.
A guy, though, this is how strong the quarterback room is there. A guy who's won games.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's won games. Bandit guy, however you want to slice it. So, again, man, very strong quarterback competition with Pittsburgh. You know me, Brandon. I know they pay big money, or, you know, quarterback money for Trubisky to come there. If the kid is better than him, man, then go ahead and let it be, man. Trubisky, you know, take the $17 million and hush. You know what I mean?
He had a $14 million deal, $5 million signing bonus. So,
but I think he starts. I tell you, all jokes aside, I think Trubisky starts. And if things do really go sour or Trubisky gets hurt, then of course, you know what I'm saying, Pickett will be out there.
John, he looked good. I watched game number three against the Lions. I thought Mitch looked serviceable.
I'll tell you what. If they didn't, they were – I'm not saying they're not happy with Mitchell Trubisky, okay? But if they knew for sure at some point they were going to get Pickett, they probably don't make that deal. You know what I mean?
I don't think they were said that they were going to get Pickett at that spot in 18 – or 20, excuse me.
Right. So, shame on, again, man, shame on all the scouts. You said Pickett couldn't play. You know what I mean? Hell, we're trying to talk ourselves out of making him a starter. You know what I mean? That's how good he could potentially be.
Now, maybe he, you know, here's my thing as a Steeler fan, John. It's going to be a year of frustration at times.
That would be okay.
It's okay. We're learning.
I'm not saying, but see, like, okay under Mike Tomlin is, like, not what dumbass Dan Dockery was saying, fifth worst or whatever the hell he was talking about, fifth worst team in the NFL. I'm like, dude, you not study, you don't look, or whoever the hell you're talking to and feeding you information then told you wrong, man, because, like, the Steelers are strong outside of, like, offensive line. It's like a question mark. You know what I mean? Like depth. Right, that's a question mark. Right, it's damn near. It's been in years. It's been a concern. And
I was saying it's been about 4 years of that.
yeah, it's been a concern. So,
the last time they had a good offensive line was Lev Bell's final year.
I tell you what, Brandon. I know we made some picks some time ago. I know we did not, but not about Steelers, man. If you told me that Mitch Trubisky could win you as a full-time starter, 9 games, I say roll with it.
I'm happy.
But if you told me starter and we win 6 and then you see what you get next year, I say you do that. That'd be the same option too. I go with both options.
That's interesting.
If you win nine games, you might be playing for the playoffs. Well, yeah, but like the kid, we got to see if the kid got the goods or not over the long term.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking the same thing you were thinking. I thought of it earlier today. I think if Mitch is your full-time starter, you can get up to 9 wins. I think if Pickett's your full-time starter, I think you're at 7 or 8. I think Mitch has it in him to get him that one extra this year.
I don't know, Brandon. I was thinking like 6. Yeah, I think that's what I'm saying. I think Mitch Trubisky gets you 1 extra or 2 extra games.
Here's a highlight for the Steelers.
Go ahead.
They don't leave the Eastern time zone all year. Every game is in the Eastern time zone.
That's that favoritism from them being one of the blue bloods in the NFL. They get a favoritism.
I was looking, well, we play some West Coast, yeah, but they come to Pittsburgh for it. So
they come to Pittsburgh. That's some favoritism schedules, man.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And we can meet it with rookie QB. And the offensive line, yeah, hasn't been good since the year before Lev Bell left and the craziness came for him. Scott K. Nichols, our great, great, great sponsor, Scott K. Nichols State Farm Insurance, says, John, play the rookie from Pitt. Mitch sucks.
No, man. John, but
answer me this. I'm sorry, Scott. Yeah. Didn't Mitch beat the Lions as a Bear?
He did.
Okay.
He did. They always give the credit to the defense in Chicago, though.
Yeah, they say the defense beat him, not the offense. I got you. The offensive line, sus. They went out and got a couple guys, and they actually made a couple trades this week, which is rare for the Steelers to go out and make trades like this. They went and got an offensive tackle. I forget where they got him from. We'll say Denver, maybe. I'm not sure. And then they went out and got a inside linebacker as well. I saw somebody put out there the Steelers were going to win the AFC North, and I even said, well, pump the brakes on that because I don't see that happening. I see a second or maybe a third place in the AFC. That's kind of where we're teetering. And Mike Tomlin said it best, we're a group in transition this year. So,
He's realistic.
I mean, that's what you expect. Mike's not going to blow smoke up your butt, kind of like a Chris Ballard or a Frank Wright, and think you're going to win. Didn't Jim Irsay say we're going to win not one, not two, not three, but 4 Super Bowls in the next 5 or 10 years?
Jim Irsay,
I think he did say that.
One football. Hey, blowing smoke. Chris Ballard? Man, the Big Blue Podcast is going to be all on our ear, man. Big Blue Nation going to be all on our ear, dude. You said Chris Ballard? They don't talk bad about Ballard around here, dude. You know that.
They love Grigson, though, I hear. So.
Yeah, whatever.
I want to dive in.
Who else got your eyes on, man?
Looking NFL-wise, John, I think I like I'm interested to see what's going to happen with two teams who were there last year, gave us a great, great AFC championship, AFC divisional playoff game, Buffalo and Kansas City. Two things. Buffalo, can they repeat? Can they finally get over the hump of the Kansas City Chiefs after all these years? We thought they had it, but future Hall of Famer Patrick Mahomes had that 45 seconds and marched right down the field. So does Buffalo have it? Can they finally get over the hump with that squad? And secondly, I'm interested to see what the Chiefs are going to do without that firecracker, Tyreek Hill, back in that backfield. What does that offense now look like in Kansas City? You can replace Tyreek Hill with Valdez Scantling and Juju Smith-Schuster, but, you know, it's not Tyreek. So Right. I'm interested in those two teams to see kind of how they what they do. I'm also interested in Lamar Jackson deal because Lamar was getting some more drama on Twitter talking about what was offered, what wasn't offered, and he was trying to set the record straight on Twitter apparently earlier today. So those three storylines I'm looking at, and maybe Russell Wilson. What's he going to do out in Denver this year? I said the AFC West was probably going to be the toughest toughest division in football this year. I still stick to that. I think there's four teams in there that are going to end up being good, and it's crazy that there's going to be two of them at least left out, if not three.
Yeah, the way the playoffs are paying out, it could be a black and blue division. I don't know, Brandon. There's a whole lot of unknowns with Russell Wilson moving over to Denver. I know everybody thinks that's just like you're trying to create, you know what I'm saying, catch lightning the ball again. You're trying to do the same thing you did with Peyton Manning. Remember, Peyton was just forgotten over here in Colts land, and then Denver picked him up and they went to, you know what I'm saying, the Super Bowl. Away we go.
Right.
I don't think that's necessarily just going to make I'm not comparing the resumes at all in this analogy that I'm saying, man. I'm hoping for the best for Russell because he's Mr. Positivity, right? He says to try to do the right things, right? But, you know, so that how's that coming from, like, he doesn't have the sonic boom anymore. That's gone now. I know we know they got some good pieces in Denver, but, like, you know, there's so much unknown. You know, and then, like I said, who is he? Now you're drawing against future Hall of Famer Patty Mahomes. You know what I mean? Y'all in the same division now, and as well as some other gunslingers. So again, man, I can't necessarily put Denver in any type of playoff picture, unfortunately.
Okay. Yeah, so we'll see NFL week one. We're going to talk a lot more NFL next week as well. John, I want to dive over college football. College football week zero just happened. John, I had five hot takes that I told you I was going to give you two preview ones last week. One of them is not dead, even though it damn sure looked like it was dead, but it's boneheaded mistakes. They're still undefeated on U.S. soil. So we've got that. I don't think Nebraska's dead. I think they're on life support.
You give them a pass. You said, Brad, hey man, the floor is yours because I'm a supporter. I'm not a fan. I'm a supporter of the old Nebraska, and I don't know. And I saw Scott Frost coming back over, finally a Nebraska guy from the family tree, right? Would put everything to right, man, and it was. Everything was set up for the win. Dude, you out. Brandon, did you not
see? What was the play calling?
I watched the game live, man. You got all these folks out. They're trying to grow the sport of football internationally. That's what they're trying to do. So they picked you, Nebraska, historical program. Oh, my God, Brandon. Did he not know that he was playing a Big Ten team?
Northwestern
– don't necessarily put the fear of, you know, Florida and somebody saying, hey, man, Florida's playing Oregon this weekend. Oh, my God. You know what I'm saying? That's a must game. That's a game I'm going to watch. Now, Northwestern, you know what I mean? Let's see what the future ESPN sideline reporters are talking about. You know what I mean? Cooler journalism. That's what Northwestern is about, right? But, like, no, man. They have some guys. Northwestern can win some games. You know what I mean? But like Nebraska is supposed to push Northwestern around, and like that was happening, but you got too cocky. They were up 11 and you decided to like come up with a trick play to get the ball back. So
you didn't need to, you're up 11.
You were already up 11, trusting your defense. Like, you Nebraska. You don't need trick plays.
Right.
Not against Northwestern. Now, Northwestern, hey, Brandon. Now, this is probably only time I'll lament about Northwestern. They got a great offensive line play, lineman play. That's what they do. They're going to have some pushers come next level next year. They will. There's some decent guys who say, oh, man, this lineman for Duke from Northwestern, oh, my God, it's going to be number six draft pick or whatever in the NFL draft. But that don't mean they got one level of that. They don't have the depth that like Alabama or Georgia has. Like Nebraska has supposed to have his name. They coach effed it up.
He was playing scared. Because here's the thing, John.
Yeah, absolutely.
Piss rolled down that leg in the third quarter.
Oh man.
Because he had another opportunity where it was fourth and four at the 50 and he punted. That's when the piss was rolling down the leg. Like, uh-oh. I mean, if you're gonna onside kick early in the third, you might as well go for it at fourth and four at the 50 with 6 minutes to go in the third. Like, it makes no sense. I talked this team up. And granted, it's not over. They can lose. I expected them to lose a couple games, but they're undefeated on U.S. soil, so we'll give them that. But, damn, Scott. The seat got a little bit hotter, and it's not over. Can you rebound? Yes. And I thought I heard on a radio show the other day. I'm going to steal their thought because he's 100% right. Nebraska is let's think historically here, right? They're in a big conference. They're a perennial school in a big conference.
Yep.
They get typically the Big Ten and those teams they get big recruits, right? Where did Scott Frost come from coaching? Not where he played. Where did he come from coaching? A Power Five school, right? And they get can get those Power Five players, those guys that come in on transfers and stuff, and they can get you those wins against these mid majors or sub Power Five schools and things like that. You can't be a Power Five coach like that, come into your alma mater, and just keep recruiting the same type of players in there and expect success at a Nebraska Power Five level. When you have a group of five type of talent coming in, that's Nebraska's problem. And the guy was spot on when he was talking about it on his radio show the other day. That's their problem. They're scouting group of five talent and bringing those recruits in. And Scott Frost, you're not going to get the same success you had at a Central Florida or whatnot. You're not going to get it at Nebraska as you got it at the group of five school. There was a huge talent discrepancy. And he just hasn't adjusted.
Well, dude, he's got to go 9-0, man. I think they'll bounce back. I think they will bounce back.
They have to. That was one of my hot takes this year for them. And piss rolled down
Brandon,
the leg on Saturday.
Brandon, they play like a Big 12 school.
Well. Let me give you a couple candidates, John, I have written down for possible replacements if they decide to can him. Can of Scott Frost there. I've got he will. I got five candidates though for next year. Number one, I think Dan Mullen from Florida. I think and this is no particular order, but I think Dan Mullen is a name to watch out for up in Nebraska. I don't like it as much as I like some of these other candidates, but with him being out of Florida, you know, I can see him getting recycled up to there, that type of thing. Luke Fickell is always going to be a name, John. If he decides to leave Cincinnati after this year, taking over a Nebraska powerhouse to rebuild, he stays in the black and red colors and white. I could see him as a strong candidate out there in Lincoln, in Nebraska. Fickell is probably one of my top guys. Mark Stoops down in Kentucky. Kentucky's been great these last couple of years. Now, you're moving from Kentucky to Nebraska. Some are going to say, well, that's not a step up. But I think based on money and for the program, it is. You're going to get a lot more money for Nebraska than Kentucky football. So that's a possible opportunity. Plus, John Stoops is going to have that networking there in the Big 12 region, right? Oklahoma, Kansas, right there in that Corn Belt area. So that he's going to get those recruits and guys maybe steal away from some of that Big 12 that now is going to be diminished. another one from the Big 12, Matt Campbell, Iowa State. I talked about him leaving last year, Iowa State. Maybe he'll leave and end up going to Nebraska there himself. Those are just some names. And the one that you have to throw it out there just because you have to throw it out there because you don't know what the hell he's going to do. You talked about him earlier, Urban Meyer.
Right. I don't know if they got enough corn or corn syrup for Urban Meyer to walk in Lincoln, Nebraska. I don't know if they got enough corn or corn syrup. You heard me? Urban Meyer might be too big for Nebraska. He might be too big for them.
Yeah. What's your thoughts on my candidates?
The Iowa State coach makes sense geographically. You know what I mean?
Stoops.
Some of Luke Fickell. Luke Fickell makes sense as well because he's Cincinnati. I mean, he's put them in a position similar to. They stepped up. They leveled up. They were mid-major. Now they're in the Big 12. I mean, and whatever you think about the Big 12 right now, it's still a Power 5 conference, right? So far as football, he can play with the big boys, and he can play the portal game with the big boys as he's done. But like when you go to Nebraska, you don't have to play that. We play that game too, but you know you can get you some. That's what's missing with Nebraska, man. They used to be, I felt like offensive lineman or defensive lineman university, mainly offensive lineman university. That's what they were about, man. And they had them, first the starters and the backups was damaged as mirror images of one another, man. And again, man, it's something that they might have to. How does Iowa do it, Brandon? You know, how does Iowa stay competitive? And it's Iowa, you know what I'm saying? As far as football is concerned, that's what Nebraska used to be able to do. And they would add in, so they would get to that. Tommy Frazier's from. The quarterback, that they're most known for, Tommy Frazier's from South Florida. So how the hell he ended up that way? You got to recruit, and you got to put the damn team together. And that's not what necessarily happened. So yes, Scott Frost is not. We know Scott Frost. I think Scott Frost still. When I think about what he did at UCF, I think that put him on the map as far as like he has some coaching about him, man. You know what I'm saying? But like as far as like the chemistry of putting team together, it's not what, like you said, it's not working. And if he can't figure that out, man, then yeah, there'll be some other candidates. There'll be some, not only candidates, there'll be somebody else on that sideline. He'll be back to trying to figure out how to get another mid-major, notice. But like, nah, man, those names you put on that list, definitely some names as his season goes or doesn't go, those would be some names we should be looking out for.
Okay. Yeah, I just would start going through, and I said, this sounds like some names that I could see easily move. And
unless they wanted to go, like, completely younger in, like, another down, which I couldn't see Nebraska doing, and bringing somebody from, like, the pros in, or nitpick off, like, Nick Saban's roster, roster of coaches. Nebraska doesn't want somebody that's ready to run, and like everybody you name, their coach is ready to run.
Yeah, I think your best option is I think if I'm the head coach, I'm going to try to go after either Stoops or Fickell. Will they be my top two candidates to see what you can get? If you can get Fickell, you're going to love that culture he can bring in there. The success Stoops, you can get him in there. He can control that Corn Belt area and everything with recruiting. So it's possible with that. So that'll be interesting to see there. I just know they pissed down their leg. That was one of my top five, hot takes. I said Nebraska 9-3. They win the Big Ten West. That was my hot take. They still have a chance to win 9-3. They won't give up two more losses, so shocker there. I said Miami, John, 10-2. They win the ACC championship over Clemson. That was my second hot take. Miami, Florida, 10-2. My third one, CJ Stroud wins the Heisman. I think Stroud's going to win the Heisman Trophy this year. It's not going to be back-to-back for the Bama boy. I think Strode's going to get it. I have Ohio State marching undefeated to the college football playoff, where they're going to meet the SEC school. Number three, John, I have Texas winning the Big 12. Texas is back. I got that shirt ready for you. I've got it ready. It's printed.
What?
Texas wins the Big 12 this year. That is one of my hot takes, my number four hot take. My number five, John, Utah, and this could be wrecked this weekend very well, but Utah goes in. They beat Florida this week. They run the gauntlet of the Pac-12. Utah is the fourth team in the college football playoff this winter.
Wow. Okay.
That Pac-12 is easy, John. If they can beat Florida here, it's theirs to lose. They have a direct path straight to it.
You think about that Utah team that we last saw. They were like going back and forth versus Ohio State in the Rose Bowl. They won by three. Ohio State ended up winning by three because like the Ohio State players had to start playing the first round as if they are. So they put the Jets on them and away they go. But that was a great game, right? We know Utah to be a great. Utah fundamentally has, again, I talk about leveled up. That's a program that's fundamentally that's like leveled up, but you have to take the Utah football program in consideration. Ain't nobody, you know what I'm saying? You won't bring them in on Jamboree night. You know what I'm saying? You won't bring them in on homecoming. You know what I'm saying? That you won't be playing Utah at all. So like, no man, they again, and like I said, all that's kind of come back. Everybody, not everybody, but they didn't have a lot of transition from year over year. So all that's kind of come back for them that they had last year has now got a season older. So like, yeah, man, Utah's definitely a team that everybody should definitely look out for. It should be Brandon. I still got them in the top three battlers of the pack. We can't necessarily just automatically. It's going to be interesting, Brandon, this year's football race, I say.
Did you see who the quarterback is at Oregon, by the way?
Utah strictly is going to be top three, right, for the Pac-12 for particular race. I think this year, Brandon, there will be no, quote-unquote, mid-major, little school, Boise State, Cincinnati, muddling up the network's money. You know what I'm saying? It's going to be nothing but. You know, it's gonna be four Power Five schools. Now, what's gonna be interesting, Brandon? Who's gonna get left out at the table? Hey, the ACC is just a little bit better this year. You just said, you got Miami winning. You got more faith in Miami than I do. But here's what I'll say: Wake Forest? They got the fifth year senior, and I know he's on the sideline right now. Hartman, I think that's his name. I think he took the COVID year in.
Yep.
He's going to be out. He's out for a little bit. He's supposed to come back. But Wake Forest, again, you remember they were interesting, right, last year. They made everything a little interesting. They floated up to, like, round 12. I think some polls had them, like, at 9 at some point. Then they had a real bad loss, you know, a grounding loss to, like, Virginia Tech or somebody, if I can't remember. Right? But, like, the ACC is back, Brandon. It's not. It doesn't quote unquote suck this year. So who gets left out at the table? The Big 12. Well, damn it, Brandon. You say Texas wins the Big 12. Like Texas is not from the politics network. They're gonna be like, hey man, we got to get in. Why wouldn't we be in? There's not gonna be. I don't think it's gonna be two SEC teams this year. That's
I
not
do.
One of my
I've options. Got. I got Alabama. Alabama, Ohio State, Georgia, and either with my permission, I got Utah/Baylor. So I think Utah gets the
four power schools, but they will all be from different. They'll be all from different schools. Different conferences.
Here's a trivia question for you, John. Who's the starting quarterback at Oregon?
Damn, man, you put me on the spot. I do not know.
You're going to hear this name and you're going to think, my God, this guy is still playing college football. And he has to go in week one and play Georgia. And he's going to see nightmares on his way to the game.
Oh, no. Can I answer?
Go ahead.
You gave me two. Can I – Bo Nix.
Yes, sir.
Bo Nix?
Yes, sir. My goodness. Didn't feel like he's been there forever. And the dude finally gets out of the SEC. He goes to Oregon, where I think he's going to prosper there because he could run around and throw and run all across the field and get hit by California and Oregon State quarterback or defensive backs and not get hurt. But getting smacked by Alabama, getting smacked by Georgia, those hits hurt. I think this fits his system more out in Oregon. But you get away from it in the first week one, you got to go back to Georgia and you got to take on the Bulldogs week one. Bo Nix. It'll be interesting to see how that goes. So we got Tanner Penrod calling in about 10 minutes. We got our guy been on hold for a little bit here. Decott, what's going on?
What's up, fellas? Y'all doing all right today?
Doing well. We got about 8 minutes before our guest is on.
Okay, so let me hit my points then, right? I'm going to go in reverse. Bo Nix peaked his senior year in high school. He's a coach's son, and that's why he went to Auburn, because that's where his dad was going, right? So Bo Nix is going to be that regular guy. He'll flop in Oregon. Good high school career, but he peaked in. And that's who Bo Nix is. He hasn't gotten better in the last 4 years of college football. Second point, Nebraska. Here's your issue with Nebraska, right? Nebraska is not going to be back for these couple of reasons. One is it's been almost 25 years since they did anything. Secondly, they were redshirt every freshman coming in on the offensive line, right? That's why those guys were like men amongst boys. They're an automatic redshirt, and they can't do it anymore because everybody wants immediate gratification, right? That's not going to be the case anymore. Thirdly, their coach was disinterested in Big Ten Media Day. I don't know if you all watched. I watched a little bit of it. He's the only coach that didn't do a monologue. He wasn't interested in being there. All he did was answer questions. So I'm going to tell you, 9-3 is a pipe dream. I'll take that bet all day and twice on Sunday. I say they won't win more than seven games this year. More than seven games, I'm thinking more like 5 or 6 is what Nebraska is going to win because of that. And to your point, they don't recruit like let me rewind. They can't recruit like they used to because they're not that Nebraska anymore. So, yeah, he'll get fired this year, and he'll go on to a smaller school division, small school, and that'll be fine. But I don't see him doing anything beyond this year, definitely not 9-3. So, Brandon, if you want to take that bet on the side, we can do a little something like that because, you know, I'm a gambling man.
I've already made it on
DraftKings. Let's do some mono and mono. I want some of that, too. Thirdly, here are my underdogs, right? For this year in college football, Clemson and Oklahoma. I think those two teams have a lot to prove, one losing a coach and one having a season that looked like it was a dismal season in Clemson. Every report I've seen says their defense is going to be top 3 to 5. If that's the case, they've got, I can't remember the quarterback's name, Ogie Wong. It's a long, long name, right? He's got to get better. I hope he got better over the summer. And if he did, look for Clemson to be a team that has some reckoning in the end of December in that conference final game and potentially a playoff. So I would say look for those guys there. Then I'm not going to hit my Pacers because I was told this isn't Pacers season. So I'll just deal with that later. Sleepers in NFL, Denver and Dallas. Denver and Dallas will disappoint. They'll disappoint. They'll disappoint. I don't see Denver making the playoffs. I don't see them making the playoffs at all in that division. And Dallas, there's a lot of talk and a lot of hype. I see Dallas winning 8 games max. Now, mind you, here are my sleepers. Philly and Minnesota in the NFC and Houston and Miami in the AFC. Now I've done my part.
Okay. Well, let's track back, Brandon, with Decott real quick, man. I know we said we got a couple more minutes. Hey, man, I had a hot take that I got one to share with you specifically because I got Brian Kelly and the LSU Tigers winning 9 games this year.
Oh, we'll talk offline.
It's nothing to talk about. They won 7 games last year in turmoil. The Tigers did.
Yeah.
You telling me Brian Kelly ain't good for 2 more wins?
They don't know. I'm absolutely telling you that because I understand you're saying that as a Notre Dame fan. But I'm telling you this: They don't bring back a difference making quarterback.
Come on. They brought Brian Kelly there to bring back a little bit what they had similar what they had when Saban was there. Right.
Yeah. Let's not use Kelly and Saban in the same sense unless you're talking national title games blowout. Let's not do. Come on, Jonathan. Come on.
Well,
I know
I'm talking
you're
about
come on,
how,
you better
how
than that.
The football side is run like a business and not like a barbecue. You know what I'm saying? Like again, man, dude, he's a lovable guy, man. The guy that won him a championship, but he wasn't the most organized. He wasn't the most political. He wasn't the most. You know what I'm saying? What they kind of want out of their football. LSU wants the same thing. The LSU fan base and alumni base and all those things, they want the same things Alabama has.
Absolutely, but you gotta have the players and your coach is wonderful. He's got a stubborn plan.
I know. The media wants us to watch this big game between Jimbo Fisher and Nick Saban, and we will. Okay,
I'm glad you mentioned that, by the way.
I think. I know he's the uncrowned. I'm kind of saying he's the uncrowned king, man. And I'm not saying he's a king, but he's the uncrowned, you know. Yeah, he's the uncrowned king.
I said to you guys when he went there, he'll be gone in less than 5 years. I'm sticking to that. He'll be gone in less than 5 years. His shtick doesn't work. That phoniness doesn't work for people down south. It doesn't work. He's a distance guy. He's not a guy who's gonna go out and shake hands and kiss babies. And if he does do it,
If he starts Jaden Daniels, D-Cot, I'm not saying that.
You know what I think about Jaden Daniels. That guy in Arizona State was awesome.
Right,
awesome.
I think he's gonna eventually start. That doesn't mean, you know what I'm saying, that makes Georgia or Alabama automatically on notice.
But he's got the experience.
They didn't bring him in to basically finish like the same like they did last year. I know that.
Well, of course not. But the thing is though, you've got to be able to relate to those guys. And the honeymoon is always a nice period. But guess what? The honeymoon is going to end, and he's going to have to make a difference. Look what the difference is, and I'll talk to you about our coach. You have to be able to be the difference when your players can't be. Brian Kelly isn't that dude. He isn't the difference when his players couldn't be the difference. He's proved it. And that's why I say him and Nick should be in the same conversation unless we're talking blowout playoff game. And that's how I really believe, and this is not a homerism at all. It's just what I've seen, right?
The other one I want to talk to you, so let's talk about, you said Dallas. What's your Dallas fear outside of Philadelphia maybe? What's in that division they should fear? Nothing.
Well, I think it's hype. I think Dak Prescott's going to take a step back. I think Ezekiel Elliott is probably the 20th best running back in the league right now, but paid like the top three or five. Absolutely. Okay. You'll see. Their receiving core with Lamb is going to be great. You got Dalton Schultz as a tight end, but their offensive line is not the offensive line it was 3 years ago, and Dak is going to be exposed in that area. I really believe that. Parsons on the defensive side of the ball is a difference maker. He's probably top three defensive player in the league. But, man, behind him, they don't have a lot. And I'm saying Diggs had a lot of interceptions last year. Go ahead.
Yeah, I kind of got them coasting again through the division. With it in their mind, and the coach is front of his mind that if you don't get to the NFC Championship game, you will be fired. That's what I think about Dallas.
He needs to start looking for properties elsewhere then, because Diggs is their guy in the defensive backfield. And I told y'all this when he got drafted there. He's out of position. He doesn't track the ball well, and he's going to get exposed. The reason why all those interceptions came is because everybody threw against him. And I'm not talking about anything in training camp this year. I don't care about that junk. We talked about this 2.5 years ago. He's out of position, and he doesn't track the ball well. And I saw it firsthand, obviously, in Alabama. And that's the same guy. very athletic. That's why they throw against him. You don't throw the ball against a guy that has that many interceptions. There's a reason for that. You try him. And that's what they did. I'm telling you. They're a seven-win team probably. Seven-win team. And Jonathan, we can catch up on that, you know, of course, offline and stuff. But I'm telling you, Philadelphia is going to run away with that division, and don't sleep on the Giants being a decent team this year. They've got nothing to lose. Daniel Jones is his last year. Barkley's got something to prove. They got the highest paid receiving tandem in the league, I think, if I'm not mistaken. But they did get better on the offensive line. It wouldn't surprise me if Philly and then the Giants and Dallas are fighting for the second spot. Would not shock me.
Okay.
But we'll see. I mean, I don't know. But we'll see. There's a lot of get back there, man. I've been watching a hell of a lot of football lately, and I'm telling you, I just believe Philly is going to win that division by a minimum of two games.
Wow.
Minimum of two games.
Wow.
Well, go ahead.
They've gotten better at every position, and they drafted the best in the NFC. No one can do – well, you can always dispute things. But fact-wise, that's indisputable. The defensive line, the linebacking core, Jalen getting better. They added Brown along with Devontae. They just traded Rager. Did you see that? Finally. I couldn't wait for them to trade Rager. He wasn't going to be an effective guy there.
Man, if that happens, and the Colts stink, which I don't think they will, but if that happens, there's going to be a lot of Colts fans to turn Eagles fans.
Why are we talking about that team in Indiana? I don't remember bringing that up. But no, in all seriousness, Philadelphia is a team. And then let's flip to the AFC, and I know you got to go. Miami, you got Tua in his development, and he's
sucks.
Got the two of the – he got the two fastest receivers. They addition by subtraction with the Sony Michel move. They've got a good offensive line, and they've got a head coach who's offensive-minded. Don't sleep on them. I'm not saying, you know, title or anything like that. What I'm saying is, and just to your point, though.
No, man. I can't
Brandon,
sleep on
you just
Tom
said,
Brady
you said
be,
suck. You
Tom
just,
Brady
you
be
just
playing
said
for him
suck.
Next year.
Brandon just said, unless he's going to be a backup quarterback to Tua. What I'm telling you is this. He's going to have a good season this year because of that coach he has is bought into him. The coach he has, he liked his coach finally. And let's be honest. When you have someone that you work for that you like, you perform better, you play better, especially they give you the opportunity to win. Two fastest receivers in the league. Upgrade on the offensive line. Get rid of Sony Michel. You got a tight end in Gesicki. I'm telling you, it's going to be interesting. We'll talk more about it. But last thing, October 8th, are we still on? Are we still on October 8th?
Yes.
Let me know what
wait. When is it?
October 8th.
I'll be in Nashville for my bachelor party that weekend.
Oh, man.
Didn't
I tell you that we need to talk about this marriage?
I know.
We talked about this, man.
I didn't plan it. I didn't plan it. Hey, last question.
Yeah.
Saturday night, 7:30. Spreads 41.5. Where are we leaning?
I'll be in Goshen, Indiana, man, drinking some Tanqueray and tonic and some hazy IPA. Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
They can't cover against
no
Utah State.
But listen, Utah, and I'm not trying to be coach on here, but Utah State's not a bunch of bums. Those guys can play, but the difference is it's the first game of the season, and Bama just doesn't do it to those type of teams, man. I would – listen, you saw my bet. I'm not taking Bama and the points on that. If I've got a lean, I'm taking Utah State and the points.
All right.
And that's real talk.
Sounds like a safe
I'll message you guys on the side and everything. But, yeah, definitely,
absolutely,
man. We can talk about the A&M Johnson. If you're going to be in town, man, we can talk A&M. We can do something ourselves or something.
We can still play another game, too. So I'm
okay,
down.
Okay. I committed to being outside and watching my team in a big game outside of the confines of the man cave. I commit to doing that for sure.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks, sir.
All right, fellas. Be safe, guys. Take care.
Absolutely.
All right. Thanks, D-Cott. Well, John. It's come that time of the year again. and it's College Football Pick'em. I got to give the intro to our guy once again.
It's so hard for me to sit back here in this studio looking at a guy out here hollering my name when last year I spent more money on spilt liquor in bars from one side of this world to the other than you made. You're talking to the Rolex-wearing, diamond ring-wearing, kid-stealing, wheeling-dealing, limousine-riding, jet-flying son of a gun, and I'm having a hard time holding these alligators down.
Ladies and gentlemen, our college football guy, Pick'em, second place last year, Tanner Penrod. What's up, T?
Hey, how's it going, fellas?
Good.
What's
it's been
on,
a long time, man. Long time.
I know it. I know. I never got back on there after North Carolina gave it to Duke right in that ass a couple times.
Yeah. We're all right with that. We're past that now. Tanner, we got college football.
It.
What's your thoughts, man, so far? What's your thoughts leading up to the season before we go to our picks? What are you looking forward to this year? What's on your radar?
I'll tell you what I'll be betting a lot, and that's going to be Ohio State first half and Bama first half. I'll be rolling with those a lot. I think we'll get to this game later. I think Notre Dame will be good, but not this week. But they'll be good. They'll be fun to watch. Cardinals, since we're Ball State people, are going to be a little rusty. I think a freshman quarterback back there, I think they're going to struggle a little bit, especially this weekend in old Rocky Top.
Mm-hmm. Well, about the me and Jonathan were talking about the old Indiana Hoosiers. I had them in my predictions. I didn't have them winning. I had them going 2-10, not winning a single Big Ten game this year.
I got them losing this week too. Yeah, but they're in trouble.
Yeah,
I
love it.
I don't know. I don't know how they're going. I think Purdue might have a good. I think Fromm's good, and that O'Connell's back for what, his 12th year. He's got more eligibility than I think most Duke players do. So he's back again. So I think they'll be pretty good. I think, I mean, they'll hold their own. They play really well at home, so I think they'll be better than IU, that's for sure.
Okay. Well, let's dive right in, gentlemen. Week one, fresh slate. Jonathan, you won last year's. You beat Tanner by 5 games. You beat me by 8 games. So week one, game one, tomorrow night, Ball State Cardinals at Rocky Top, Tennessee. John, Ball State is a 35-point underdog at Tennessee. Who are you taking with the points?
Yeah, unfortunately, man, as Tanner pointed out, man, but this is a year of transition. I will always talk highly of what's being coached out there as far as competitiveness. It's just a little bit too youthful this particular year, man. They're going to get great offensive line play and push this year. They're going to have probably, once Mac play starts, you're going to hear about, you know what I'm saying, this running back or this particular wide out, right? But again, man, that's a lot for a freshman quarterback to go down there in Tennessee in hostile territory in game one where the Volunteers are still pissy about losing to some Indiana team back in the early bowl season, back losing to Purdue. They're still salty about that. So, the Volunteers kind of look at this game as sort of a tune-up cupcake matchup. I think the defense – I think Ball State defense – I think they keep it under 35, though. But, you know what I'm saying, you take Tennessee all day long on that and on that.
Refresh the fan base. You're taking Ball State plus 35. So that's the pick.
Yep, that's what I'm picking.
That's my pick. That's my pick.
Okay. Tanner?
I'll make it short and sweet. I think 35 is a lot. Tennessee goes next week to Pittsburgh, which is going to be a tough game. it might be a trap game off one. 35, Ball State. They do. I think that running back's going to be decent for them. Oh, my gosh. They got revenge on their mind. I don't even want to bet it. I think Tennessee's defense is going to be pretty good. I'm not going to bet it this week as a personal. You won't see me putting any action on it. Just because I graduated from there, this is going to be like a homer pick. Give me Ball State plus 35.
Okay. For my pick, like you said, Tennessee's going to come out pissed off. Now, if there's any a week that Ball State can catch Tennessee, if you had this game play any week during the season, you would want it to be week one with the rustiness of what Tennessee is and such, where Ball State can probably get inside that number at 35. I just feel like it's going to be like at 31, and then there'll be like a touchdown with like 3 minutes to go off a pick that'll put it at like 37, and Tennessee covers it. I'm going to take Tennessee minus the 35 this week against Ball State. I just, like you said, that freshman QB back there, Knoxville's going to be loud. Neyland Stadium, Rocky Top's going to be played every fucking 5 minutes, it seems like, in that stadium tomorrow night. So
Ball State will get a good payday, though.
They will. They will.
$1.50.
They can put that towards NIL deals. I've taken Tennessee minus the 35. I don't feel comfortable with it. I'm probably not going to bet it myself, Tanner. I may look at the over-under, maybe, for the game. Right. I was trying to look it up real quick to see. Gosh, dog it. Give me 1 second here.
It's been 35. You got to think Ball State's going to score 10, probably.
67 and a half. 67 and a half. It opened at 68, so it's went down a point and a half. Ugh. 42 to 10? That only gives you 52 points. That's a 32-point win. I don't know.
State's putting up some points. They're saying Ball State scored at least 17. 52-17 gets you there. That's what they're counting on the final.
Right now, 51% of the bets are on the under. 91% of the money is on the under. So they don't think Ball State's going to get there point-wise or Tennessee. So we'll see.
Yeah.
All right, so look at that pick. I've got Tennessee plus the minus 35. You both are taking Ball State plus the 35 going into it. And by the way, this week, Tanner, what we'd like for you to do when you make your picks for what you're actually going to put your action on, if you want to tag Crossroads on Twitter with your action, we'll get it tweeted out there as well. That way, people, if they want to make the bets, they can follow along as well as we're going to do for what bets I put out there for the week. I got to put my card out tomorrow morning. So, big one tomorrow night, blackout. Ross-Ade Stadium getting ready to go under a major renovation. I saw the notes today. I thought we were going to be able to go to the game tomorrow night. I've got unfortunately, we've been pretty good at our golf league this year on Thursdays. So tomorrow night's the championship for our golf league that I have to play in. I can't miss, unfortunately. But I'm starting it at 4:30. So I should be done. I'm hoping by 6, and I have a 25-minute drive up to West Lafayette from my home course back home. So I might be able to fly in there last minute, hopefully. Penn State minus 3.5 at Purdue. Boys, I'm taking the Boilers plus the 3.5, and I'm going to take the bet. And I'm also going to put sprinkle a little bit on the money line, Purdue money line. I think Purdue's going to cover and win the game outright.
I wanted to go first to say that same damn thing.
go ahead. Go ahead. Continue the blessing.
Yeah, I'm going to go Purdue for sure. I'll sprinkle. That'll be my second college bet. Took some last week on Nebraska. Scott Frost can kiss my ass.
I did it too.
Yeah. So they're a do not bet the rest of the year. So anybody listen, don't ever put any money on Nebraska. And I got some stats on that. Fromm's 19-8 as an underdog at home. So people that like statistics, I like that. And I love that O'Connell dude back there at quarterback. I think he's going to do good. I know they lost. I'll butcher that dude's last name on defense, and David Bell's gone too. But I just think Purdue wins this game. I think 3.5 is a good bet, especially if you get the hook on your side. Definitely take Boilers. And I remember last year when I got on the stinking podcast, I told this Chris Fuller guy, if Purdue burnt me, I'd never bet him again. Well, he's listening. I'm betting him. If not, you owe a bar tab to all three of us that are hosting this show. That's fact.
There's two on the Boilers. John, your pick.
Oh, man, it's probably going to be a full sweep, man. I'm taking Purdue.
Whoa, that's either good or bad for us. I don't know which.
just based off the fact that the quarterback, Aiden O'Connell, again, his name will be mentioned in Heisman consideration just because of the numbers that he's able to they put up. The last time we saw him, that game was against Tennessee in the I forget what bowl it was. It was Transylvania
Motor
some
City,
bowl.
I think, or something.
But yeah, that's the last time he put up like 534 yards of passing.
Or Music now, City, I think it's called Music City or something.
Yeah, what Purdue needs to figure out is how to balance his talents for passing and putting up big passing yards in games. And the ball run. They were last in running in Big Ten. They got eight running backs now this year. So they're going to run the ball, man. I'm not saying they're going to run it down Penn State's throat, because Penn State, they had some transition with their roster with guys turning pro and guys actually unfortunately leaving the program because NIL money is sweeter with certain other programs, man. Yeah, people have raided. Other programs have raided Penn State's fridge of talent, man. So I just think it's too much. It's going to be close, but I think Purdue just has a little bit too much against Penn State. And, I'm taking Purdue.
Okay, so that's a clean sweep of the Boilermakers. I'm just picturing right now the NFL when they give their picks before a game and everybody's on the same team and then it flops the other way. Bad memories there. The Backwoods Brawl. West Virginia at Pittsburgh. Pitt, 7.5-point favorites in this one. I'm going to take Pitt. I think West Virginia is not your father's West Virginia team, football team anymore. I got Pitt covering the 7.5.
I'll go quick. I have some couple things I wrote down. Even though there's QBs, new QBs on both sides, Pickett obviously gone. I think Pittsburgh can stop that run, and I think too many unknowns for West Virginia. Even though I think Pitt needs the win, because who did I say is coming in there next week? Oh yeah, Tennessee's coming there next week, so I think they can't take an L with Tennessee coming in next week. So yeah, I'll take Pittsburgh laying the points too.
Okay. John,
the ACC is back. They want their hat. They tossing their hat back into this college mix of championship games. Pitt winning in this game makes their chances, makes the entire conference stronger. You know what I'm saying? I know everybody's thinking in the back of my mind, well, Pitt ain't going to win the ACC. Pitt could win the ACC. It's possible. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but it's possible. But they, again, like Tanner said, a new quarterback, this will be somewhat of a test for them because, you know what I'm saying, in that particular region, those teams – They don't necessarily have a blood rivalry, but there's somewhat of like, you know, some uncomfortableness between the programs, right? It just is what it is. So, but again, I think there's a little bit more. I think there's a little more talent offensively on with Pittsburgh, and I think they win.
Okay, Illinois coming off a win last week. Illinois at Indiana. Indiana 4.5-point favorites in this game. John, I'll let you go first.
Indiana's a favorite?
Yeah, wow. That's what I said.
Wow. I think this is an ugly game, man. This is like a game we can remember from the Cam Cameron era of IU, man. This I don't think this is a good Indiana team overall. They probably got some good pieces, but like overall, I don't think this is good. Ramsey the quarterback? Penix Jr. Oh. He's gone.
Yeah,
Penix
he's at Washington. Washington.
Now, folks. Man, this is not going to be a good IU team this year. I don't think 0-9, man. This is where the first O drops right here.
Right.
I agree with you. I'm taking Illinois to point. I might even sprinkle some money on Illinois money line. I know they were just playing Wyoming last week. I caught a little bit the first half of it. I actually laid the 13.5 on Illinois last week against Wyoming. They won 38-6 last year. Hoosiers were 1-11 against the spread. They're going to go ahead, chalk that up as another loss against the spread. Give me the Illini.
Yeah. I've got Illinois. I've got them plus the points. Looks like the spread's actually moved down to a little bit now. It's IU minus 2. But we'll take it at the 4.5. We got it out here. I've got Illinois. I'm taking the Illini here with the points. Plus, Tanner, I've got it on my bet card here. Illinois, the points, plus Illinois sprinkled money line as well. Another money line special there. Double betting this one on Saturday.
Listeners, yeah. No, I think this is a Friday game.
It is. I apologize.
I think if guys want to bet it and get on that plus side, if you want plus money, you better get it soon. I think I can see more money just keeping coming Illinois' way. So if
you
want Illinois getting points, you better get on it sooner rather than later.
Yep. Next one, number 23, Cincinnati at number 19, Arkansas. Arkansas, 7-point favorites. Arkansas was the surprise team last year of how well they were doing in the SEC conference. I won't say the darlings of it, but Razorbacks, Sam Pittman, his third year now down in Arkansas. Home game against Cincinnati, who obviously was in the college football playoff last year. I'm taking Cincinnati plus the 7, boys. I don't know.
Whoa.
Something about it. I'm going to take Cincinnati to cover the points. They may not win, but I think they'll cover.
I'll go quick with you, but I'm not going to go that way. I think Cincinnati, they lost some defense. They lost the quarterback. I like KJ Jefferson. They got an Oklahoma wideout. I can't think of his name, but he was like a 2019 top recruit at his position. He transferred to Arkansas. Going to give him a weapon to throw to. I don't want to bet this game. I think it'll be a great game to watch.
I agree.
But if I had to pick a side, I'm just going to give me Pig Suey. I'll take Arkansas.
Okay. John?
I like Arkansas too, man. I think this game plays out. They go back and forth, and then Arkansas just kind of just separates themselves from it towards the end. Probably beats them by 2 scores at least. You know, so it's not embarrassing. I don't think it won't be. I think it's not an embarrassing loss or anything like that. So I like Arkansas.
Okay. Next one, number 11, Oregon. With your boy Bo Nix, his 17th year in college football. Oregon at number 3, Georgia, but it's going to be in Atlanta. Georgia, 17.5-point favorites over this Oregon team. I think they take them in the backyard and just beat that you-know-what out of them. Georgia covers that 17.5 easily.
Go ahead, Jonathan.
Yeah, probably not going to happen. I mean, Oregon, they're not necessarily the little sisters of the poor. In any realm of the imagination, but against national champs, first game of them, you know what I'm saying, defending their crown, I don't think Oregon. I mean, kudos to Oregon for taking their game on the road. You have to tip your hat to that. Everybody does, you know what I'm saying. Some teams are afraid to, programs are afraid to that. They went to Columbus and beat Columbus and stunned. I don't think they stunned Georgia. You know what I mean? There might be a little hangover, national championship hangover with the Georgia Bulldogs, but Oregon ain't necessarily good enough to sting them. So I'm going with Georgia.
Tanner?
Let's see here. Oregon's, I think their head coach now was Georgia's old defensive coordinator or something like that. He might know that Stinson Bennett a little bit. I like the under probably a lot. I saw a stat that Georgia's last five opponents, they've outscored them like 72 to 28, something stupid like that. So I'm going to go against you guys. I'm going to say that D coordinator, Bo Nix, isn't going to be able to throw the ball. The only way Oregon's going to be able to cover this 17 is if they can run the ball. I like the under. I don't want to bet this game. I just want to watch it. So just give me – I'll take Oregon in the points. I'll go against you guys. Just give me Oregon in the points.
Okay. Number seven, Utah, 2.5-point favorites at Florida. Hey, I had in my hot takes that Utah ends up being the number four team in the college football playoff. They have to win this one and then run the table in the Pac-12. Give me Utah minus the 2.5 at Florida.
All right, I'll hop in there. Oh, go ahead, Jonathan. I'm quick on
this. No, I like Utah as well, man. I like them to, you know, to just pick up where they left off last year.
I want to take Utah. I'd rather take the over. I think the swamp, the humidity, it's going to be tough if there is a chance for a ranked team to go down this week. I think it could be in the swamp. So
okay.
As much as I want to do that, if it goes down, I'm going to still take Utah.
Oh!
But if there's a chance, for a team to go down, a ranked team to lose this week, I'm not betting this game, but I can see Utah becoming Gator bait by the end of Saturday.
Okay. I'm actually betting this game and taking that Utah minus 2.5 and the over 52.5. Because
like,
if Utah's going to win
like
this game, it's got to, they have to hit the over. So.
Yeah, no. If I make a bet and I'll send it to you, the only thing I would take would be the over. I'm with you
okay.
on that.
The big one, Saturday night, 7:30 at the Shoe. Number five, Notre Dame, Marcus Freeman, rookie coach, going in against number two, Ohio State guys, the Buckeyes, 16.5-point favorites. I will give this one first to Tanner.
All right, I got some things on this, and it's not looking good for Notre Dame. Notre Dame, I've looked up some things since like the 90s when they take on a top 10 team on the road. They're 1-17 in those games. And 0-8 against top five. And the average margin of deficit in those games is over 16 points. So if I'm just going to do my math and being a fan, I'll hope and pray it's close. But I don't like cheering for Ohio State against my team. But this week, I don't even see it. Ohio State, they got Heisman, the quarterback, running back, and a receiver. I love Marcus Freeman, but I don't think there's a flipping snowball's chance in hell that the Irish can keep it close, and they might just get dog walked right out of the Shoe in the first half. So give me the Buckeyes in the 16.5.
I'm taking the Buckeyes minus 16.5 as well. I think the Irish get pelted with Buckeyes in that first half in the game. It may be – Ohio State, they may win by four touchdowns. I'm going to throw that out there right now.
I might be all over Ohio State first half in this game.
They could dog walk, and I've got a couple people lined up to go after if they get dog walked, a la Reggie Sykes. So, so we'll see there. John, we both got the Buckeyes in a dog walk. What do you have?
And some of you folks think Notre Dame is going to join the Big Ten. Anyway, another conversation for another time. Just year of transition. Again, I know coming up another year of transition, new coach. Quarterback has had some spotty issues when they want to do a change of pace. Last year they used him. He's now the starter until, you know, but again, I think there's a freshman backing him up. So, again, defensively, Notre Dame's though, that's what's going to kind of lead them to victories this year. It will be that they'll be led by their defense this year, but it won't lead them to victory against Ohio State at all, man. They'll keep it close, and then I think they open it up like they open up a can
in the second half because you know, so Ohio State will be wanting to kind of show off, right? So so Notre Dame will be fine, but not this weekend.
Okay, so all three of them.
Real quick,
State.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Marcus Freeman will be great. He's got some players coming in there. I just think Notre Dame's probably a couple years away from back into that playoff picture. Yep.
Okay. Sorry, we're running short on time.
I know we are. Yep.
So we all three got the Buckeyes minus the 16.5. Perfect. The last one on Monday night, and my voice is changing to the Southern South because we got Florida State coming against Brian Kelly and them LSU Go Tigers. Minus 3.5. Give me LSU Tigers to cover this 3.5. Brian Kelly's in the good graces with some sweet tea on Monday night.
I'm with you on that. I'll be quick. I don't have any notes on this. I know it's the New Orleans on that day. Florida State didn't superly impress me last week. So give me LSU. And one last note, I'm just going to go back to this Notre Dame. If you didn't see that Pat McAfee thing yesterday when that dude did the Lou Holtz impression, you better just find it on there because you guys will laugh for about 5 minutes in a row.
Perfect. I will look for it. John, real quick.
Yeah.
Give me LSU, man. I got LSU winning 9 games this year. This is a big win for them. Give me LSU.
Yeah.
I love Brandon's accent. I love Brandon's Southern accent. You got to love it.
Hey, it pops in just like Brian Kelly's. So we'll see. Tanner, it's been a pleasure. Once again, we'll get you on for more time. We'll talk more college football and NFL picks once folks start up.
I like it when it's like this. We get crunched in. I'll let you guys wrap it up. Next week when we get on here, maybe we'll do some college, and maybe I'll just throw in a NFL game that I like. I'll just make it quick since it starts up next week.
Beautiful. We'll see your picks. Send us the picks on Twitter. We'll tag it. We'll share it out to everybody if they want to take them. Tanner, thanks again. Good luck this weekend, buddy. Me and you will talk on the Twitterverse with our picks.
All right. Thanks, Jonathan. Thanks, Brandon. Take care, you guys. Have a good holiday weekend, too, as well. See you guys.
Thank you.
Take care.
All right. That's Tanner Penrod. John, our picks are in. They'll be posted up on Facebook and Twitter either tonight or tomorrow, probably tonight. I want to thank our sponsor, Scott K. Nichols, State Farm Insurance, Maverick Custom Motorsports, and as well as as Wiseman Logistics. All three great, great, great sponsors. We are up against it tonight. I've got a draft in like 2.5 minutes I have to get to. But Jonathan, any last words, and then I'll let you wrap us, my man.
Nah, man. Great, great show tonight, man. Thanks, D-Cop, for calling in. Thanks, Tanner, for calling in, man. Football, it's back, man. Everybody, thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show. You can find more episodes on iTunes and the Google Play Store. Be sure to like and subscribe for more Crossroads Sports content.